Everybody, good morning, and I'm not sure if I could surpass the excitement of the raffle, but I will try, and wish everyone a Freilich Erev Chanukah, and B'yashas Hashem. This should be the light of the Neiros of Chanukah should pierce the darkness of the Galut that we are in. I do want to continue a little bit, the Vilna Gaon's very ingenious discussion of the critical pasuk that the Rambam called a klal gadol in life, and that is, remember the pasuk in Perek Gimel, b'chol d'rachecha da'eyu, in all of your ways you shall know God, v'hu yiyasher orchosecha, and he will straighten out the pathways that you walk in life. So if you remember, the Rambam's own interpretation is that you have to try to serve God in every single endeavor of life, that you don't separate between the spiritual and the physical, but that even in the physical activities of life, in your building of a house and a home and in your appreciation of nature, one should always bring it back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Vilna Gaon had a different dimension. Again, it's not a contradiction. These are multiple layers of interpretation. And that is, da'eyu, he broke up into two words. Da'eyu, hey and vav, are the five books of the Torah, and vav are the six orders of the Mishnah, that is the written Torah and the oral Torah. If you strive to know Hashem's Torah, God will give you insight and guidance how to live your life. And here the Gra adds that you'll notice two nouns, b'chol derachecha, in all of your derachim, know God, and he will straighten out orchosecha, your orchosecha. Now in English, derech and orach are translated approximately the same thing. It's a road, it's a path. But the Gra says in Lashon HaKodesh, this is the Vilna Gaon Shita, there is no such thing as synonyms. Each word must have a distinct meaning. Derech is the highway that everybody travels. Orach is the side road, which is unique to your address. B'chol derachah, if you endeavor to know God in the general way, by doing the Torah, doing the mitzvot, Hashem will give you insight to find your own individual pathway. Because a person is confused, right? Not everything has a definitive answer that we can see in the Torah. The Torah creates the framework of how all of us have to live, but then we have to find our own individual way. And that's not always going to be clear. Even going to the Gadol Hador is not always going to be clear, because the Gadol Hador will normally say, you know, go to somebody who knows you better, or whatever it is. Although I'll tell you a very, very beautiful story. And many of you might know, especially in this building, Rabbi Tzvi Hirsch Weinrib, who was the vice president. He was a rav in Baltimore for many years, a very good friend of mine. Then he became the executive vice president or director of the OU, and now he's executive director emeritus of the OU. But he gives many, many shiurim. He's often here in Eretz Yisrael. He tells a wonderful story. You know, he had started off his career as a psychologist. Weinrib, Rav Tzvi Hirsch Weinrib. In fact, he's probably in the Torah Tidbits. So listen to this story. He was a psychologist in private practice. He has a doctorate in psychology. And he was debating whether he should go into Rabbanus or Chinuch or a full-time Torah career. He really wasn't sure, because he also had Smicha, he wasn't sure what his life's direction was. So although he was not a Lubavitcher Chassid, but he, as many people, he called the Rebbe for advice. He wanted to get advice as to his life decision. So he calls the Rebbe's office, and the secretaries answer. Secretaries themselves were great Talmidei Chachamim. They were not just, all secretaries are good, but these were Rabbanim themselves. Executive assistant, whatever. But these were Rabbanim themselves. And Rabbi Weinrib says that he hears the maskir like talking to the Rebbe in the background. There's this fellow who wants to know, should he do this or do this? So the Rebbe asks, where is he from? He says, he's from Maryland. So he says, he should call this Dr. Weinrib. He knows how to give He knows how to give advice. So the secretary says, "This is Dr. Weiner." He says, "So he should give advice to himself sometimes." So, now, this is a very profound remark, actually. Because you would think, especially among Hasidim, the whole idea is the Rebbe gives you the answer, that's it. You don't have to think, you don't have to work it out. He says, no, a person needs to look into himself for that insight. In fact, there's a pasuk in Mishlei that says this explicitly. Mayim amukim, a very famous verse. Mayim amukim eitza belev ish. Eitza is wise counsel. Wise counsel in the heart of a person is like a deep, deep pool. There is something deep within us that gives us the answers. But ishtavunot yidlena, a person of understanding will be able to draw up the water. That might mean a parent, a rebbe, a teacher. But the point is, the good teacher helps you draw out the wisdom from within you. But that is called an orach, not a derech. Derech is what everybody does. We all have to keep Shabbos. We all have to keep kosher. We all have to keep mitzvot. Orach is the unique situation that applies to you. So look how the Vilna Gaon is such a beautiful interpretation. If you know God by doing the general obligations of the Torah, He will give you the wherewithal to know your orach, know your pathway in life. It will come to you. It's not an arithmetical or a mathematical equation. But somehow you develop the instinct, the understanding of yourself, and you will make the right decision. But, da'eyu, you have to connect yourself to the written Torah and the oral Torah. Now, the Vilna Gaon then adds yet another layer of meaning. Right, so maybe so many layers of meaning. And he points out that da'eyu, this goes back to the simple meaning, know God. What does it mean to know God? So he proves through a whole interweaving of so many quotes that knowing God, meaning serving God out of love, lishma, l'shem shamayim, not for kavod, not for recognition, and not even out of fear of punishment in shamayim, but knowing God is to serve God lishma, in order to serve God. Again, how do you get that? How do you get that out of the word knowledge? Because you'll recall, we even use the phrase in English, knowledge in the biblical sense, right? That is when Adam and Chava cohabit and they unify together to produce a child. So the pasuk says, "Vayeda Adam es Chava ishto." Adam knew his wife Chava. So knowledge in this sense, or the Hebrew word, das, refers to connecting on the deepest emotional level. Just as in a marriage, in an ideal sense, this would be reflective of love and care, which finds its expression in the creation of life. So too, the Vilna Gaon says, da'eyu, knowing God, is not referring to philosophical speculations in which I have all of the proofs that there is a God. Rather, knowing God is the emotional connection of love in which you serve Hashem not for an ulterior motive like wealth or honor or even out of fear of divine punishment or because of divine reward, but rather you serve Hashem out of your love for Hashem. And he says, and that is when we are given the promise. So actually, this makes it a little tougher for us, this promise that if you know God, He will give you the insight. It's a little more than just doing the commandments, although that's plenty, but it refers to the specific level of serving God lishma. Serving God lishma gives you the blessings of wisdom and insight in life. And let me just show you how he proves this idea, because the pasuk is a little ambiguous, knowing God, but he proves this idea by a whole bunch of quotations that you might even say is almost overproof, but the concept is the Vilna Gaon was such a master of all the Torah that any single point that he makes, he will always buttress it by many, many different proofs. First is a pasuk in Yirmiyahu, Perek Tes, pasuk Chaf Gimel, And this is actually a very famous pasuk in its own right, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells the Navi Yirmiyahu, Al Yishalel Chacham B'Chachmaso. I'm sure you've heard this pasuk. A wise person shall not praise himself because of his wisdom. Al Yishalel HaGibor B'Gvuraso. Nor shall a mighty person praise. It's a nigud. That's a Jewish nigud. Nor shall a mighty person praise himself because of his gevura, his strength. Ki bezais yishalel hamishalel. There is only one thing that a person could be proud of. That's a real accomplishment. And that one thing is actually two words or three words. Haskel v'yadua osi. Haskel, to become wise and to know God. So the way the Vilna Gaon works it, he kind of inverts it by saying, if you know God by serving Him Lishma, Hashem will give you wisdom. Meaning, Haskel, become wise because Yadua Osi. Meaning, the Yadua Osi, serving God Lishma, is how you get to Haskel. Now, in the negative sense, he quotes a pasuk in Yeshayahu, Mem, chapter 40, verse 6. And this is where Hashem is expressing kavyachol his disgust with the rishus of some members of Am Yisrael. Now remember, historically, just to be sure you all know this, that Yeshayahu has prophecies about the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, although he was more than 100 years before. Yirmiyahu was the prophet of the Chorban itself. Yeshayahu is before the exile of the 10 tribes, but he's talking about the exile. And he says, Hashem says in disgust, Kol HaBasar Chatzir. All human beings are as worthless as the grass that dries in the sun. V'chol chasto, and all of their loving kindness, kitzitz hasadeh, is like a blossom, looks like a nice flower that dries up. Now that pasuk itself is ambiguous, but he quotes the Zohar that says, what does it mean, all flesh is grass? That when they learn Torah, they don't understand what they're learning, it's like munching straw. So kol basar chatzir, achli kivna da'araisa. Like in grain, right, you have the straw and you have the seed. All they're doing is eating the straw. They learn. It is the straw of Torah. Why? So then the Zohar goes on. What does it mean their loving kindness is ketzitz hasadeh? All the things they think they're doing for God, they're just doing for themselves. So the Gra says, you see the negative correlation. That if you're serving yourself and not God, you will not understand the wisdom of the Torah. See, it's all connected. How do you understand the wisdom of the Torah? Da'eyu, when you know God, you serve God out of love. Consequently, in the negative sense, the pasuk is saying that when their loving kindness is not really true, meaning their kindness to God, kavyachol, when they are serving themselves, then all the Torah they learn will be ketivna d'araisa. So in other words, this is the opposite, this is just the converse of the pasuk in Yirmiyahu. In Yirmiyahu, we're told, Haskel, you will be wise when you serve God lishma. Yeshayahu is making the point that when you serve God out of your own ulterior motives, your Torah learning will be like eating the straw. Torah is compared to grain. But there is the seed of the grain and there's the straw of the grain. Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Don't they say do something, lelo lishma, and eventually it will come lishma?
Yes, 100%. Meaning, we're not condemning. We are not condemning shelo lishma. But we are simply saying, lo lishma is not going to make you wise. Meaning to say, you got to do it. And hopefully it'll be a stepping stone that will lead you to lishma.
How do you make this?
Well, it does happen. It's almost an automatic process in the sense that your neshama gets more connected to Hashem, but it doesn't really give you wisdom yet. By the way, I want to point out that for those of you that are Chabad, or for those of you that have learned Tanya, I want you to know that the Alter Rebbe does take a very, very strong position. I mean, and there was the Litvisha position of the Vilna Gaon and Rav Chaim Volozhiner is that mitzvahs that are not done shelo lishma are still very high and very elevated, but the Gra is simply telling me it will not bring wisdom and insight. The Balatanya is much, much stricter in this. The Balatanya actually says that shelo lishma really doesn't even go to shemayim, as it were. But when you do tshuva and you become lishma, then retroactively everything, you're building up a star house, but it doesn't accomplish anything. Chassidim, in other words, it doesn't accomplish anything until such time as when you become lishma, then everything you did gets elevated, but it doesn't get elevated at the time. Now, that's the Balatanya. The Vilna Gaon himself would not say that.
Yeah. Sorry, am I catching
lishma? Yeah, lishma is for the sake. Lishma in Hebrew is lamed shin mem hey. That means for the sake of the Shekhinah, for the sake of the divine presence. Lishma. Now, I just want to point out, Chassidim tell a story that the Baal Shem Tov once walked into a misnaged, a non-Chassidish Beis Medrash, where people were learning. And the Baal Shem Tov said, "This is quite a place. There is so much Torah in this room." So everybody was very, kind of happy with themselves. So he says, "Yeah, it's all here. None of it goes up to Shemayim. The Torah is here. It's not moving." Okay. Now, let me just mention yet another. This is a very famous verse that we say in Eishes Chayil, which is also in Mishlei. It's the last chapter of Mishlei. This is the Pei. Right, Eishes Chayil is an alphabet. Pia pascha bechachma. Her mouth, talking about the ideal wife. And I think we mentioned that. I know one family where the wife does not want Eishes Chayil to be said Friday night because she says it makes her feel guilty. Because here you have the superwoman that raises kids and brings in parnasa and brings honor to her husband. She says, "Too much!" But okay. But this is the ideal kalach. Pia pascha b'chachma. Her mouth is open with wisdom. Wisdom. V'toras chesed al lashona. And on her tongue is the Torah of loving kindness. Now the Gemara asks right off the bat that, first of all, there is a concept certainly in Kabbalah that although Eishes Chayil certainly refers to a wife, no question about it, but there are symbolic meanings as well. Now again, please remember, the symbolic does not displace the literal, but symbolically, many say that the woman of valor is the Torah itself. The Torah itself is the Eishes Chayil. In fact, the Vilna Gaon even says the word Chayil, which is valor, if you spell out the letters, equals 48. Chayil is 48. 8, right? Ches, Yud, Lamed. And Pirkei Avos says there are 48 ways that one acquires the Torah. So if you want to have an Eishes Chayil, meaning if you want to acquire the Torah as your Eishes Chayil, you got to do 48 steps. Pirkei Avos says there are 48 ways to acquire the Torah. So based on this, the Gemara asks, what does it mean, the Torah of loving kindness? Is there, I understand, the practice of loving kindness for sure, but is there a Torah of loving kindness and a Torah not of loving kindness? How does loving kindness connect to the Torah? So the Gemara says quite an amazing idea. The kindness is what you do to God. If you learn Torah for the glory of God, you are doing chesed kaviyachal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what the Gemara says. Torah's chesed is when I do it to bring glory to Hashem, I am mitchased im kono. Mitchased meaning I'm doing chesed with my Creator. The Torah not for God is not doing chesed. So now the Gra says it's making the same idea. When will the mouth be filled with the wisdom? When your Torah is a Torah of chesed, which is interpreted in the Gemara Sukkah as doing it for God. When you learn Torah for ulterior motives, you're not going to have the chachma, which ties into the idea of eating tevin. You see, it's all making the same point from different variables. He then brings in a Gemara. So far, just to show you, I mentioned a pasuk in Yirmiyahu, A pasuk in Yeshayahu, a pasuk in Perek Lamed Aleph, chapter 31, which is Eshes Chayil. And now, here we have a Gemara in Bava Basra. A Gemara in Bava Basra. The Gemara in Bava Basra is talking about a very practical halacha. What direction are you supposed to face when you daven? So the Gemara says something that at first glance is going to sound strange, because all of us are familiar with the Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara in Brachos says you are supposed to face the direction of Yerushalayim. If you're not in Yerushalayim, if you're in Yerushalayim, you face the direction of the Har HaBayis, and ultimately you're facing the direction of the Kodesh HaKodashim. So in America, that tends to be east. Other places, it's west. Yerushalayim, depending on where you are in Yerushalayim. So it's not, I mean, I'm sure you know this, it's not a question of east or west. It's a question of facing the kivun of the Har HaBayis Kodesh HaKadoshim, which in America happens to be east, normally. But that's the Gemara in Brachos. But the Gemara in Bava Basra gives you a whole different directional signal. It says, where you face in prayer depends on what you want God to give you. Harotze lahashir, you want to be rich? Daven to the north. And you want to be wise? Daven to the south. And it says, the reason this is so is because in the Beis HaMikdash, or the Mishkan, if you would walk in, remember, the Mishkan is aligned on an east-west line, right? You enter from the east, and you're walking to the west, and the Kodesh HaKadoshim is the west. That's why the Kotel Maravi of the Har HaBayit is the back of the Beis, as you understand. The front of the Beis HaMikdash would be where the Har HaZeisim is. The Kotel is the back, it's not the Mikdash, but the back wall of the Har HaBayit. Okay, because the Kodesh HaKadoshim is the west, it's at the end. Now, when you walked into the Heichal, the actual temple building, so what you would see is, to your left, which is the south, when you're going west, south is to your left, you would have the menorah. And the menorah represents the light of Torah. To your right, you would have the shulchan, the gold table, that had the 12 breads, lechem apanim, that brings Parnassa into the world. So north, for reasons we don't fully understand, but the Gra will give us a little explanation. North is the direction of Parnassa, and south is the direction of wisdom. Therefore, the Talmud in Bava Basra says, you want wealth, daven north. You want wisdom, which is the better thing to want, daven south. Now, in terms of the contradiction, you may say, well, wait a second. But what the Gemara in Brachos says, you're supposed to daven to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That, now you're telling me north-south. So the answer basically is, it's just a question of leaning, meaning your dominant direction should be towards the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But if you want wealth, you incline yourself to the north. You want chachma, you incline yourself south. In other words, the dominant direction is Kodesh HaKadoshim. Now, I have to say, that's correct. Well, wealth is not lishma, but wisdom could be, because wisdom might be I want to know God. So that could be lishma. Now, some shuls, because of architecture, don't always have the Aron HaKodesh in the right direction. So I remember in my old shul, the Aron HaKodesh was due north. Due north. Wow. Okay. So I used to make jokes about the priorities of the Mavrichim. People have very good priorities. It's just the mud in Washington, in the Washington area, makes it difficult to build things a certain way. Okay. Now, the Vilna Gaon says the following. So this is a statement in Maseches Bava Basra. Harotze lahachkim. You want to become wise. Yadrim. Yadrim means pray to the Dorom, pray to the south. So the Vilna Gaon teases out of this even something that supports his thesis, because he says the following. In Kabbalistic terminology, right, we talk about the Sfirot, right, the various ways that God manifests his divine presence. And it starts off with Keter, which is his will, the crown, Chachma and Bina, wisdom and understanding. And when they unify and they produce Das, they have the unification, we then have the lower Sfilas, the lower manifestations, which are the emotional Midos of Chesed and the like. In Kabbalah, Chesed is God's right arm. It's a metaphor. God, of course, does not have a body. But we represent Chesed as the right arm of God, and Gevura is the left arm of God. And the reason that is so, with apologies to lefties, is that in the imagery of Kabbalah, the right is considered to be the dominant and the strong arm, and the left is the weaker, less dominant, the recessive aspect, so to speak. And in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's case, the dominant, most powerful manifestation of Hashem is kindness. In fact, the Gemara uses this as a metaphor for parenting. That when you have a child, yamin mikareves, your right hand should draw him near. Shmol, right, merechek, shmol docha. That if you have to discipline a child, and you do have to discipline a child, but it should be the weaker aspect of the relationship. Very, very important. Discipline is absolutely needed, just as you need two hands. But the discipline should be the weaker part of the relationship, whatever the percentages are going to be. So the Vilna Gaon says, if we say that the right is chesed, the right is represented by the southern direction. Now why is that so? That's actually not true if you're looking to the west. If you're looking to the west, south is to the left. But it's interesting, there's a certain paradox here. Although the Beis HaMikdash is aligned going east to west, in directions, we always start off with Mizrach, because Mizrach is where the sun rises. So if I'm facing the rising of the sun to the east, the south is to my right. In fact, that is exactly why the other name for south is Teiman. In Biblical Hebrew, south is Teiman, which is connected to the word Yamin. Because why? Because when you're looking at the dominant direction, that is the east, south is to your right. Therefore, the Vilna Gaon makes his point once again, perhaps overproving it. Harotza lahachkim, if you want to be wise, yadrim, do chesed to God, which the Gemara in Sukkah described as learning Torah lishma, the chesed in kona, etc. And finally, he brings the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that says, this is the sixth parak, actually it's interesting, the sixth parak of Pirkei Avos is actually not part of Pirkei Avos itself. Pirkei Avos is Mishnah. As a tractate of the Mishnah, Pirkei Avos only has five chapters. But there is a sixth chapter that is a brisa. It was something that was not put into the Mishnah, but it was a teaching of the Tanaim, and that's why it begins. The sixth parak begins, Shanu Chachamim Belashon HaMishnah. The sages taught in the same style as the Mishnah, and therefore it was appended later. So it was not, that's why you'll find sometimes that some commentaries on Mishnayos do not have a perish on the sixth chapter. For example, the Rambam's commentary on Pirkei Avos does not have a commentary on the sixth chapter. But be it as it may, the sixth chapter begins after that introduction of Shanu Chachamim B'Lashon HaMishnah, Rabbi Meir Omer, Kol HaOsek BaTorah Lishma. If you learn Torah Lishma for the sake of God, you will then merit many, many things, and it talks about the wisdom that God will give you. So from all of these sources, Da'eyu, knowing God, means serving God, lishma, out of love of Hashem. And then you will be given wisdom and insight. Now again, just as you said, certainly if we're not on that level, we serve God even not lishma. And that will elevate us, and that will help us, and that will count for a lot. But the wisdom, so to speak, does not come until one reaches lishma. This is part of why we go to a gadol. So you have to understand, it's not simply that the Gadol knows more. Because there might be other, there might be academics, you know, who know more. But it's because if the gadol is more attuned to serving God lishma, then he will have that insight. He or she, let's say a great rebbetzin like Rebbetzin Kanievsky or the like, he or she will have an insight into what Hashem wants us to do. You can call it Ruach HaKodesh, you can call it prophecy, whatever you want to call it. You can just call it a deeper understanding of life, whatever process you want to call it. But that comes when one learns Torah Lishma, because one is then has knowledge of God. Right? So you see how the Gra takes all of these different sources, a pasuk in Yirmiyahu, a pasuk in Yeshayahu, a Gemara in Bava Basra, a pasuk in Esh Hayil, a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, all to kind of make this point. But there's a lot more than that as well, but some of it I have trouble understanding myself. Again? Okay. All right. Anyway. Okay. So this is just one example of the richness that we can derive from a single verse. Okay. Now I am going to go backwards, and I want to start from the very very beginning of the sefer. I know that some people feel I should have done this 7 weeks ago, but every Gemara begins. If you know, every Gemara does not begin on Daf Aleph. Every Gemara begins on Daf Beis, because there is a concept that in learning Torah, we throw you in the middle of it, and then you kind of work a little backwards, as it were, and things fall into place. Now, today we're going to look at what you might call the mission statement of the Book of Proverbs. What is the Book of Proverbs supposed to be about? What is it for? And the mission statement lasts for six psukim. So the first six psukim are a mission statement. The book proper does not begin until Pasuk Zion. So it's important that you know this. The book of Mishlei as a book, the actual proverbs or statements, begin Pasuk Zion. Aleph to Vav are the mission statement and the purpose of the book. So the first verse simply says, the proverbs of Shlomo ben David, Melech Yisrael, but I think we pointed out that there are proverbs in the book from other authors as well, and they were included. But now, let's subdivide each thing. Number one, first purpose, to know Chachma and Musar. That is purpose number one. To know Chachma and Musar. And I think this part I've already explained, but just to review it very quickly. Chachma is the wisdom, not so much of book learning, but the wisdom of understanding what is the purpose of life, why are we here, and to have a sense of right and wrong. To have a sense of what is the right way of living my life, what is the wrong way. That takes insight, that takes understanding, particularly when you live in societies where those values are not always going to be shared. That is chachma. Musar is the self-discipline to be able to live in accordance with chachma. These are two different, this is one thing, but these are two different aspects. The chachma is the knowledge of right and wrong, and the musar is the self-discipline to be able to live your life in accordance with that standard. Two different things. There might be a person that has the chachma, but we sometimes lack the discipline or self-control. I know in the abstract I'm not supposed to get angry. I know in the abstract that everything comes from Hashem, so I shouldn't be afraid. I have the chachma. I have it. I know it. But am I able to live my life that way? That is musar. Musar is developing the strategies of self-control. Now, self-control itself, though, there has many, many levels. Let's take Lashon Hara as an example. The initial level, or anger, the initial level of self-control is you simply bite down hard on your lip till it bleeds. You feel like screaming, you feel like yelling, you feel like saying something bad or nasty to somebody, but you control yourself. Now, that is a very, very great accomplishment, but that is not the ultimate musar. Because the problem basically is, you know, your lip can bleed only so long, and at some point you explode. Eventually, what happens with musar is we change our perceptions. Lashon Hara is a very good example. Initially, I may really want to say bad and insulting things about people. The first madrega is to control myself. And that's very hard. But eventually, as the Sefer HaChinuch says, the actions we do can change our mindset as well. And eventually, our mind gets re-educated to look at people favorably. So Lashon Hara doesn't become such a struggle anymore. Because when you love, just like a person wouldn't want to say something bad about someone they loved very much. So Musar has a number of components, right? We talked about the Musar movement by Arichas, but basically there is a concept of initially controlling the beast within. And then eventually the beast gets trained and becomes, you know, like a cat or a pet or whatever it is. So that's mission number one, Ladas. To absorb, that's really two components, Chachma and Musar. Now, number two, it's in the same pasuk still. Lahavin Imrei Bina, to understand words of understanding. Now again, in English this would just kind of be rhetorical and repeating, but the Vilna Gaon says, Lahavin Imrei Bina is a very important qualification on Ladas Chachma Musar, because it says Imrei Bina refers very specifically to the laws of the Torah. And what Shlomo HaMelech is saying is that when one develops Chachma and Musar, these should not be autonomous character developments, but they have to be rooted in the mitzvot, because otherwise a person could devise their own system of morality which will not be in accordance with God. For example, let's say a person wants to, has a bad habit of eating too much or gluttony or whatever it is. So a person might decide, I'm going to fast all the time, even on Shabbos. But this is a shaila that Rabbanim get with some frequency, because people say, I have to eliminate wheat, not so much because of health allergies per se, but because they say it triggers uncontrollable eating. So therefore, I'm not going to have any bread on Shabbos, even a kezias. Okay, I'm not going to paskin on that right now. But the issue is, the Vilna Gaon says, you have to be sure that in your desire to improve your character and your behavior, it be done in accordance with the Imrei Bina, the words of understanding of the Torah. One should not, as it were, try to create a character development system that is not following the details of the halacha. Right, so that's what the second idea is. Lahavin Imrei Bina. Okay. Third statement. Here it repeats Musar again. Lakachas, to take Musar Haskel. Now Haskel means successful. To take, meaning that part of moral education is to be willing to accept criticism gracefully and gratefully. Lakachat. Now this is one thing that's very hard for all of us. It's very, very difficult. And obviously I include myself. It is very, very difficult to be criticized. Nobody wants to be criticized. And of course sometimes the Gemara even says that somebody asked Rabbi Akiva, how come nobody takes criticism today? Rabbi Akiva answered, because nobody knows how to give criticism today. That when criticism is given with insults, with denigration, then we become defensive. But on a higher level, the Rambam writes, the greatest depth of friendship is when friends are able to help each other become a better person. That is the idea of a husband and a wife on the highest level. So part of being wise is lakachat, the ability to accept criticism. And even to honestly seek it out. Now, you know, we all know the scenario. Sometimes you have these bosses in corporations, and they say, I'm for honest communication. So everybody sits around the table, tell me exactly what I did wrong. Well, you better not say anything negative, because the boss may sound like, I'm real open to all suggestions. But if anyone says something negative, you know, whatever it is, you might be out in the street the next day. But Rabbeinu Yonah writes in his famous book Shari Tshuva, the books of the Gates of Repentance. Rabbeinu Yonah writes that one of the ways in which a person is brought to tshuva is by being a lover of tochacha, a lover of people who point out ways that we can improve. That's a real high madrega. But they welcome it. How can I really be a better person? Well, yeah, but we're doing it, it's a little safer in large numbers. But, you know, one-to-one can be very, 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 very painful. I mentioned the Musarvat and the like, which actually does that. Now, let me tell you a story about, I may mention this, about the Sfas Emes. When the Sfas Emes was a child, and he was raised by his grandfather, the first Ger Rebbe, Chedushi Arim. So he used to learn with the Chedushi Arim every day. And one day he came late because of an emergency. And the Chedushi Arim, Rav Yitzchak Meir Alter, was giving him very, very strong mussar about not wasting time and learning is important. And the boy did not say anything, and the mother and the grandmother, the Rebbetzin of the Rim, came in and said, "Why are you giving him mussar? He had this emergency." And the Chedushi Arim said to the boy, "Why didn't you tell me?" And the boy said, "I wanted to hear your mussar. I wanted to hear..." You know, now, so many people, we look for excuses when we don't have them. And here is someone who had an excuse, and he didn't want to use it. So this is lakachas, to take the mussar, be willing to hear, be willing to look for ways to improve. Now then it mentions the fourth element, tzedek u'mishpat. So again, the Vilna Gaon interprets that tzedek, righteousness, is connected to tzedakah, charity, which is chesed, loving kindness. Mishpat is justice, din. And meisharim, the straight road, is in the middle. And this is making a point, a further point, that in life, one needs to balance. One cannot always be kind, and one can certainly not always be strict. There is a time in life for kindness, and there's a time for discipline. And the wise person, meisharim, has the middle, the straight road, that balances between the opposites. This is what the commentaries say, that Avraham Avinu represents the attribute of loving kindness, and Yitzchak represents strict justice. But Avraham has the Ishmael, because too much kindness could be destructive. Yitzchak has the Esav. It is Yaakov that is said to be the synthesis between the opposites. And therefore, the wisdom of this fourth step is the notion of balance and harmony, and not being a one-size-fit-all type of person, in which, you know, most of us have a dominant aspect to our nature. Some people are just naturally giving and kind, and some people are strict, and we tend to respond in accordance with our basic nature. That's not, well, again, we all do that, but ideally every situation is evaluated based on what is appropriate at that time. There is time for kindness. There's a time for strictness, because strictness, when necessary, is in fact kindness. Think about raising a child. You let a child do whatever the child wants. Are you a kind parent? Are you an indifferent parent? Or an irresponsible parent? Right? It's a big, big issue. On the other hand, a disciplined parent could call himself a caring parent. Maybe he's a cruel parent. Right? You know, so one has to know exactly what is the right way to do it. So that's the tzedek u'mishpat u'meisharim. Okay. We then have a further mission. Lases lipisayim orma lanar das u'mezima. Okay, pisayim. This is the first time we introduce a term that is very popular in Mishle, and that is the pesi. Pesi. Now, Pesi is pei, saf, yud. Plural is pisayim. And a pesi, even in modern Hebrew, is someone who's not too bright, maybe moderately retarded. But in Mishle, in fact, we talk about pesi as a fool, but in Mishle it has a very specific meaning. It is not referring to IQ, but rather pesi comes from lefatot. Lefatot means easily enticeable, meaning a person who has a weak character, not so much a weak intellect. Meaning to say, they're gullible and they're easily convinced. When the guys, his friends say, you know, let's go to this movie or this show or a place where they shouldn't be going, he's not a bad person, but he goes along with them. He's noach lehitz patot. That is what a pesi is. So don't confuse it with the modern Hebrew, which tends to focus on a person's intellectual limitations. Now, in that way, an orma is a kind of cunning. It's the opposite of pesi. It's the ability to see through a situation. Now, this could be negative. Yeah. Yes. Ayin, resh, mem, hey. Now, this is very interesting because remember by the Nachash, when the snake is introduced in Parshas Bereishis, it's described, HaNachash Haya Arum. The Nachash was the most cunning. Now, there's an interesting problem here because we know that Arum also means naked. So why would naked be a word that is associated with cunning? So it seems to be connected that he doesn't hide anything and he sees through all the coverings. Like something may look like a very, very nice package, but if you're Arum, you're able to see through it. So what this pasuk is telling me is the following. Note the word laset. See, there's a switch in verb here. Until now, we were talking about what you're supposed to absorb from this book. You are supposed to learn chachma and musar based on the Torah. You are supposed to be open to musar. You are supposed to balance. But then there's another goal. You have to be able to give it over to your children. Right? Laset, meaning to say, it's going on what you do with it. Meaning, your learning and your growth is not only for you, but ultimately, you are to be enabled and empowered, laset. Now, this is not, by the way, this is not reflected in the English translation. The English translation seems to simply say, this is just another thing you're acquiring. The Vilna Gaon says, no, laset means you are giving it to the pesi, the person of weak self-control. You're going to give them orma. Teach your children what to be careful about. And again, datu mizima is proactive. The word mizima is give them the ability to plan for their lives. Again, this is an important message in parenting, at least indirectly. Remember, this is only the mission statement. Everything gets elaborated on, chapters and verses. But the concept is, orma is the capacity of your children to see through the fakery. Mizima is proactive. Give them, because if all you are is negative, that's also, by the way, this is actually something to be very aware of. Sometimes we encounter in religious life where parents are very successful in knocking everything that's not 100% kosher. But they might be less successful in building up what is good. So as a result, what happens with kids is they become very cynical.
Because the parents are crushing.
That's right, because they see the negativities. In fact, this is actually a problem with rabbinical children. This is a well-known documented problem. Because rabbinical children see all of the problems, all of the weaknesses, all of the hypocrisies, all of the whatever it is. And in fact, this is actually why sometimes, you know, we all know, we have all been there, sometimes we might profoundly disagree with what our children's teachers have done. They messed up. They did something wrong. And this is really, really one of the most difficult questions I think many parents face, and that is, you know, I love my child. My child was wronged. But what do I do? My kid's right. But you see the problem. If I start saying, you know, your Rebbe didn't know what he was talking about, you're introducing a tremendous problem of fostering disrespect and cynicism. So you have to tread very, very delicately. If your child was wrong, you need to protect your child. Well, some parents actually have a shita. Rebbe is right no matter what, whatever it is. There is such an approach. But on one hand, I would say you have to protect your child, but you have to do it by not taking away respect for his Rebbeim. So you have a private talk to the Rebbe, etc. And if you have to change school, whatever it is, but you should not get into a direct denigration of Torah authority figures in his life. You could say, you could empathize with your child. You could say, I know how you feel. Sometimes things are hard. You know, show rachamim. But it shouldn't take the form of denigration. And that is what Shlomo HaMelech is saying. It's not enough to simply show him the negatives of things. You have to give him a positive sense of how to make his life meaningful. Okay, that's Pasuk Dalet. And then Pasuk Hey. We just have two more verses. Pasuk Hey says, and with all that I am teaching you, says the wisest of all men, a wise person will continue to develop ideas of his own. Meaning, don't think this is the end of it, but rather I'm giving you raw material to continue. This is a famous phrase. Yishma chacham. When a wise person hears these things, Yosef lekach, he will add insight. Torah is not meant to be stagnant and fixed, but rather we are supposed to take these ideas and develop them further, applying them to life, because once again, even a book like Mishlei cannot possibly embrace every situation that will ever happen, right? So we have to be able to have the tools to be able to extrapolate from this. The navon and an understanding person, tachbulot yikne. So again, the different tachbulot are tricks. Meaning, he's making the same point. This is similar to chachma and musar. Chachma is the knowledge of what is right. Musar is the self-control. But now Shlomo is saying an additional thing. Sometimes self-control requires tachbulot, which are tricks. Quite literally. You have to engage in tricks. Like, for example, the trick that says, I will not get angry until I count to 10. And the idea is it's a trick, because once you count to 10, you're calmed down and the like. And therefore, a person has to know how to trick themselves, as it were. Little games that you play. And then the final statement is the format of the book. And this will be accomplished by understanding mashal umalitza. So now let's just translate those words. The word mashal, which of course is the very name of the book, is not a proverb. Proverb is not an accurate translation. Proverb is any saying. Mashal is a particular format in which an inner truth is expressed by some type of story or example of common experience. So a very common example in Mishlei is that Mishlei will be talking about adultery against your wife as a way of understanding what it means to be unfaithful to God. Because unfaithful to God is an abstraction that we don't always grasp. Adultery is something that's very, very vivid and the like. Now, Shir HaShirim is a mashal, where we talk about human love as a way of understanding divine love. Now, it's very important that we sometimes skip a step. And that is, we have a mashal and we immediately want to understand what it represents. But you'll notice, so that's what melitza means. Mashal is the parable. Melitza is the meaning of the parable. But note that Shlomo HaMelech does not simply say, understand the melitza. But he says, understand the mashal. Now this is important, because sometimes to really understand, not sometimes, all the time, to really understand the inner meaning, you need to reflect on as many aspects of the outer meaning as is possible. Because the more you identify the outer meaning, the more powerful will it be as a method of instruction. And therefore, Havana is not only about the Melitza, but it involves the Mashal as well. So for example, if you look at Shira Shira, although the imagery is sometimes something that is, you know, fairly vivid and the like, but the more one delves into the literalness of the metaphor, and then one asks, how do I apply this, then the more powerful the Melitza is going to be. So you actually cannot ignore the Mashal. You need to look at the Mashal, and then you understand the Melitza, and then Divrei Chachamim, these are the words of the great wise, V'chidosam, and their puzzles. The Vilna Gaon says, this is a remez to the Agada of Torah Shebal Peh. It's interesting that Mashal u'Melitza is the content of this book. Divrei Chachamim v'chidosam are Agadata. The Agadatos of Shas, which sometimes either we skip or we regard as mere stories, Baba Mises, are in fact, the Vilna Gaon says, the repository of great symbolic secrets of the Torah, and they are called the Chidah, they are called a puzzle. Because when you encounter them, they may make no sense at all. I mean, actually, many do make a lot of sense, even superficially, but some of them are totally enigmatic. But they are the repository of the greatest secrets of the Torah. Right? So this is six verses, really five verses, because the first is just the name of the author. This is six verses describing the mission statement of the book of Mishlei, and then the Sefer begins with the verse, the fear of God is the beginning of all das. On one hand, you have to know Chachma and Musar, but without Yiras Hashem, nothing's going to penetrate. Because the Vilna Gaon says, without Yiras Hashem, you can learn the Torah over and over and over again, it's just not going to stick in your head as a guide to how you live your life. Because if you're not interested in serving Hashem, then those things are not going to...
It doesn't go into the heart.
Right.
It
certainly doesn't go into the heart, but the truth is it doesn't even go into the brain that much, because you're not even going to remember the relevance of these things, because the Vilna Gaon quotes the Gemara. It says, things that people aren't interested in, they just don't absorb. That's why you can have an 8-year-old who knows the World Series scores from 1925, photographic memory, and can't know any chumash. You know, it's very interesting. We really know what we care about. Okay, we'll see you next week. Have a very happy Hanukkah.
Caveat was shalolishma, bolishma, so there has to be a conscious